On today's Locked On SEC, tons of stuff to catch you guys up on in the aftermath of Georgia winning the national championship. TV ratings are out, parade plans are set, and we have an update on Jameson Williams following his injury for Alabama. Also, we will go around the conference, get you caught up on the latest guys going pro, guys coming back, and guys hitting the portal. Also, we'll begin looking ahead to the offseason. We'll catch up with Stephen Willis, host of Locked On Ole Miss, to find out about all the new transfers that Lane Kiffin is adding. Locked On SEC starts right now.
You are Locked On SEC, your daily podcast on the Southeastern Conference. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And what is happening, everybody? Welcome into Locked On SEC. Great to have you guys along. Today's episode is brought to you by NetSuite. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system to power your growth. Head to netsuite.com/lockedonNCA for special end-of-year financing on the number one financial system for growing businesses. I'm Chris Gordy. Thanks for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. Remember, Locked On SEC is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube and at lockedonsec.com. Let's jump into it. Let's go around the conference.
Boots out to the right. Makes the handoff.
Around the conference.
And we start with Georgia's win over Alabama in Monday's national championship game. It saw a large television audience, but another dip in the ratings historically since the college football playoff began in 2015. Austin Karp of Sports Business Journal reported that the game on three of the ESPN networks averaged 22.6 million viewers. That was up from last year's record low of 18.7 million for Alabama's win over Ohio State. However, outside of last season, it was the least watched title game since Southern Cal, Oklahoma in 2005. The numbers beg the question about if the leaders of college football will consider moving the national championship game to Saturday in an attempt to get more viewers. I just think it's so odd when you play it on Black Monday when all the news all day Monday was about the firings across the NFL. And it wasn't until about 4 or 5 o'clock you put on ESPN, you start getting some buzz for the national championship game. It should be on a Saturday. We play college football all year on Saturdays. Put this game on Saturday. Why is it on a Monday night? Makes it very inconvenient for people who want to travel. But I digress. Some news on the Alabama front. Jameson Williams, a projected top wide receiver in this year's NFL draft, did tear his ACL on Monday night against Georgia. That's from Adam Schefter. He said doctors believe that after surgery within the next 10 days, Williams will retain his sub 4.3 speed, and they expect a full recovery. Of course, Williams injured his knee early in the second quarter Monday night. He was hurt on a 40-yard catch on a pass from Bryce Young. Williams came into the game with 75 catches for over 1,500 yards and 15 touchdowns and averaged 20 yards per reception. Meanwhile, Georgia fans, they are getting hyped. They are ready to line the streets and for their parade. University officials have released details for that upcoming national championship parade. For those of you listening in the Georgia area, listen up. The championship ceremony will be Saturday. It will begin with gates opening at noon Eastern at Sanford Stadium, and the parade will move down Lumpkin Street to Sanford Stadium at 12:30 with a dog walk at 1 p.m. and a formal program set for 2 p.m. Tickets are complimentary and will be available throughout the week leading up to Saturday. The campus will operate on game day procedures with the campus opening at 7 a.m. So, man, you know this has been a long time coming for Georgia fans. They are going to pack that place. It is going to be crazy. So looking forward to that if you're a Georgia fan. Meanwhile, Alabama, one of their analysts and former Tide player Jake Long, he will reportedly be the inside linebackers coach at Oregon, joining Dan Lanning's staff. Long played defensive line for the Tide during his playing days. Now he's reportedly making a move to get on the field as a coach. So good luck to him. All right, some news of guys coming back. We know Auburn lost offensive lineman Brodarius Ham to the NFL draft already, but on Tuesday, the Tigers got some good news. A pair of starting offensive linemen went to social media to reveal they are coming back for one more year. Starting left tackle Austin Troxell and center Nick Broms announced they are coming back next year. So you got your center and your left tackle spots locked in already. That is huge for that Auburn offense. And you're getting Tank Bigsby back. Should be a brighter days on the horizon for Auburn. Meanwhile, over at Kentucky, Some good news for them as Mark Stoops and his staff found out that DeAndre Square has been a key piece of that defense in recent years. He had 80 tackles this year, brought his career total to 244 tackles. He revealed Monday he is foregoing the NFL draft and will come back to Kentucky for a super senior season. So looking forward to see DeAndre Square back another year for Kentucky. Also, their dynamic running back, Chris Rodriguez, announced on social media that he will be coming back for another year. He said, "I know coming back will make me better, not only for myself, but also for my team and the people around me." Rodriguez rushed for more than 100 yards in 9 games, finished the season with the school's 5th highest single-season rushing yardage this year. He had 1,379 yards, 9 touchdowns, which was 2nd in the SEC behind Tyler Beatty. Rodriguez has 26 career rushing touchdowns. Some other names, Damian Pierce over at Florida. He was their lead running back this past season. He's announced he is heading to the NFL draft. He had a team-high 13 touchdowns this past season at over 500 yards on 5.7 yards per carry average. He also produced 18 catches for over 200 yards. Kyer Elam, also for Florida, announcing he is heading to the NFL draft. He tweeted out that forever striving for more, he accounted for 78 tackles for the Gators this year. Meanwhile, transfers, a lot of guys happening there. Alabama seeing a mass exodus on Tuesday following their loss in the championship game to Georgia on Monday. The Tide are bringing back a lot of talent and, of course, a dynamic big-time recruiting class, but 5 players jumped in the portal on Tuesday evening. The biggest name of the bunch, tight end Jaleel Billingsley. He will be joined by linebacker Drew Sanders, quarterback Paul Tyson, linebacker King Wakuda, and offensive lineman Tommy Brown. That's all according to Matt Zenitz of On3 Sports. Of course, Paul Tyson was the great-grandson of Bear Bryant. He shared a note thanking Alabama fans on Twitter. But Jaleel Billingsley, the biggest one, I mean, he was a guy who could have had a major impact for the Tide this year. Finished with 17 catches, 256 yards, and 3 touchdowns. He was constantly in Nick Saban's doghouse and constantly dealing with issues of having to get out of it, taking care of some personal issues. So best of luck to Jaleel Billingsley, but that's a big name wherever he ends up going. Meanwhile, Georgia, they're going to lose a guy, a defensive back, Amir Speed. He was a starter in 3 of Georgia's 15 games. He has reportedly entered the transfer portal. Speed joined the Bulldogs in 2017. Over 5 years, he played 48 games for the Bulldogs. Total 25 tackles, 13 this year. So good luck to Amir Speed. On Tuesday, it was revealed LSU is going to lose a key name in their secondary. Second-year DB Dwight McLaughlin was a former 4-star recruit. He entered the portal. He played 9 games for LSU this year. Of course, when Derek Stingley and Eli Ricks went down, he stepped up big, becoming one of their go-to DBs. Cordell Flott, he is heading to the pros. So that's 4 big names now LSU needs to replace in their secondary. That's a lot. Meanwhile, LSU wide receiver Alex Adams, he entered the portal 2 days ago. He has now announced he is heading to Akron to play a wide receiver. Mekhi Wingo over at Mizzou, he surprised a lot of people when he announced he was entering the transfer portal. He's heard from a number of schools. He's announced his top 4 schools, and 2 of them are from the SEC. LSU and Arkansas are still in the mix, as well as Oklahoma and USC. So those are 4 big-time programs. We'll see where Mekhi Wingo ends up going. DeAndre Jackson, former Texas A&M running back, he's announced he is going to Nebraska. So we'll see what he is able to do. He saw some action in 1 game 2020 and 4 games in 2021. Meanwhile, Vanderbilt, they are due to lose a veteran O-lineman as left tackle Tyler Steen is entering the transfer portal. That comes from On3 Sports. 6'5", 315 pounds. He has 2 seasons of eligibility remaining. He will be a grad transfer. Meanwhile, some guys coming in. Mississippi State getting a couple transfers coming in on Tuesday. They got a piece from the Big Ten. Former Northwestern wide receiver Jordan Mosley announced he is heading to Mississippi State. Also, the Bulldogs landed a commitment from a transferring DB out of West Virginia, Jackie Matthews. He appeared in 12 games for the Mountaineers. South Carolina, Christian Beal Smith, running back for Wake Forest. He entered the portal a week ago. He has announced he will go to South Carolina. Of course, they already have big names in Spencer Rattler and Austin Stogner going there. And now they added another guy in James Madison wide receiver, Antoine Wells Jr. He He had 83 catches for 1,200 yards and 15 touchdowns this year for James Madison. So that's a big pickup for South Carolina. Tennessee, they picked up a UCF tight end in Charlie Browder. He is coming in via the transfer portal. LSU picking up a DB from ULL in Mekhi Garner. Nice pickup for them. He was all Sun Belt third team this past year. And lastly, Ole Miss, their running backs coach Kevin Smith appears to be headed to a job closer to home. Reports are he will join Mario Cristobal's staff over at Miami. Lastly, Mizzou, they finalized their football schedule, and they announced yesterday they will add a September 3rd game against Louisiana Tech. So there you have it, Mizzou. They will also play at Kansas State, home against Abilene Christian and New Mexico State during non-conference play. Thank you guys again for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. Coming up next, we're going to talk with Stephen Willis, coming up in just a second. Need to remind you guys about Built Bar. It is the new year, so that means New Year's resolutions. If yours is about getting fit or eating healthier, make sure you include Built Bar in your plan. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar, but it's even better than a candy bar. It is healthy for you. Many of the Built Bars contain only 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 grams net carbs, 17 grams of protein packed in there. Even if you're not a big fan of working out, you can still grab a delicious Built Bar and have something that's better for you than so much of the other junk that is out there. Go to Built.com right now. Check out all the different flavors. They have so many flavors to choose from, like the coconut almond, the salted caramel, mint brownie. Use our promo code LOCKED15. That'll get you 15% off your first order. Again, go to Built.com. Use our promo code LOCKED15. Get 15% off your first order at Built.com for Built Bar. We've also been reminding you guys about the Get Upside app. It is an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. Our listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now. Make sure you use our promo code SCORE when you sign up. You'll get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. It's up to 50 cents cash back. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free. Use our code SCORE, you'll get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back. Some people who drive a lot are making as much as $200 to $300 a month in cash back. There's no catch. The cash back gets added right to your account. You can cash out anytime to your bank account. Again, download the free Get Upside app. Use our promo code SCORE. Get up to 50 cents per gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code SCORE on the Get Upside app. Going along here, Locked On SEC, and we start to transition now into our off-season topics. And a pleasure now to be joined by our buddy Stephen Willis, host of Locked On Ole Miss. Your overall reaction, Stephen, Monday night as an Ole Miss fan, what were you thinking watching Alabama-Georgia? Did you have a rooting interest either way in that game?
You know, watching that game and looking at what was going on, I thought all season Georgia was the better team. Like 21 out of 22 players, they had an advantage. But for some reason, they just had the Alabama factor. There's a confidence thing to get over that they had to do with Alabama. And in the fourth quarter, you actually saw the moment that Georgia's like, oh, wait, we're good enough to beat these guys straight up. And in the fourth quarter, they just completely took over. But I think me and you were the maybe one or two or three point people in the Locked On SEC family that picked Georgia for that game.
Yeah, it is crazy. I mean, when you talk about, so many people were picking Alabama in that game, I just thought, man, the numbers speak for themselves. When you talk about rematches, it's so hard to beat a team, you know, the second time. Let me ask you this from an Ole Miss perspective, because I was talking with somebody about this topic the other day. Do you feel like we saw the way Alabama struggled to run the ball against LSU? You know, in all honesty, LSU maybe had a chance to beat Alabama in that game in Tuscaloosa. We saw how poorly they played against Auburn in the Iron Bowl. You think Ole Miss, if they had played Alabama later in the season, may have had a better chance to win that game?
Honestly, probably not, because they were so beat up at the end of the year. Getting them when they got them was probably a blessing. But I do think so many teams, whenever they see that A and they see those numbers on the helmets, that game is lost before it's kicked off, because confidence in team sports is absolutely everything. And you have to walk in knowing that you can win the game. what made Ole Miss in 2014 and 2015 and even 2016 such a threat to Alabama is they knew they could beat them. And they just knew in their heart, let's just go out and play. Now, Georgia, like I said, had to get over that hump. And once they did, you could actually see it click in the fourth quarter. And actually, believe it or not, I think it was on the air quote Stetson Bennett fumble. But after that, Georgia's like, okay, let's just go win the game.
Yeah, it was just so interesting how that game played out. I mean, all the field goals in the first half, and I even felt like if Bama had scored a touchdown the first half Monday night, maybe it would have been too much for Ole Miss to overcome. We'll just never know. But congrats to Georgia winning it all. What did you make of the news, kind of how the season ended for Ole Miss? Man, you guys go into that Sugar Bowl, all the hype and excitement, and obviously the Matt Corral injury was just god awful. You don't want to see that happen, but man, as all the Ole Miss fans I know that made that trip and spent the week in New Orleans excited about the Sugar Bowl, it was just like a big pin just deflated the balloon with Matt Corral going down that night, right?
Yeah, that was a really hard thing to deal with for Ole Miss fans, dealing with the Matt Corral injury and what's going on, but there's a large contingent of the fan base that actually took a lot of solace from Luke Altmaier's performance as a true freshman, because we haven't seen him much this year. And he goes out in that Sugar Bowl, and in the third quarter, you thought he was going to do something special. Like, it's like, whoa, what is going on here? And you see him flashing, and it's like, okay, after a spring, Lane can get him ready to go. Of course, Lane's like playing in the transfer portal right now, just like everybody else. But even if for some reason Ole Miss doesn't land its quarterback, I think Ole Miss is fine with Luke Altmaier moving forward.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, your thoughts, because we saw some good and we saw some bad that night. But, if you had to guess right now, I mean, is he going to be the guy for next season?
I think if they strike out with A-list guys in the portal, I've heard rumors, they tried to enter the Caleb Williams sweepstakes, and then they're going to move on to Jackson Dart, and they're going to keep going because Lane Kiffin's going to take it all the way into the summer, basically. If somebody's available, he's going to try and get them. But like I said, if they were to strike out in that situation, it would be a situation where I'm not overly concerned if Luke Altmaier is the guy. He looked unbelievably poised for a kid that was playing high school football last year.
Talking with Stephen Willis, host of Locked On Ole Miss. Sit tight, Stephen. When we come back, I want to get your thoughts on a lot of these guys that Lane Kiffin has brought in through the transfer portal, going to make next season very interesting for the Rebels. We'll do that in just a second. But first, I need to remind you guys about our friends over at NetSuite. We tell you all the time, this is it, the putt to win the tournament. If you sink it, the championship is yours. But on your backswing, your hat falls over your eyes. Is that how you're running your business? Poor visibility because you're still relying on spreadsheets and outdated finance software. If you want to see the full picture, you need to upgrade to NetSuite by Oracle. It's the number one cloud financial system to power your growth, visibility, and control your financials, inventory, HR, planning, budgeting, and more. Over 28,000 businesses already use NetSuite. For the new year, NetSuite has a new financing program. For those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/locked, head to netsuite.com/locked for the special one-of-a-kind financing offer for the number one financial system for growing businesses, netsuite.com/locked. Continuing on here, Locked On SEC, and there we go. If you're watching our video on YouTube, we got our buddy Stephen Willis with us now. Stephen, what do you make of some of these names that Lane Kiffin has grabbed out of the transfer portal this past week? Because we just saw, obviously, the big one, the TCU running back and Zach Evans. We know how good he was there. With all the good running backs Ole Miss, if you didn't pay attention, maybe you missed how good of a run team Ole Miss has been these last 2 years under Lane Kiffin. But Zach Evans, an instant dynamic playmaker they bring in. Iowa State DB Ashim Young. Talk about some of these new guys and what you expect out of them.
First of all, on the defensive side of the ball, you have Ashim Young is going to be a direct replacement, I believe, for Jake Springer. He's going to be one of those box safeties. Ole Miss and Arkansas are kind of the two teams in the SEC that run that 3-2-6, three safety thing that Iowa State does. Ashim Young, so he has more experience actually running it than any player on the Ole Miss roster. So I think he's going to fit down in that box safety role. And you got Tysheem Johnson over there. On the other side, in the back, they're trying to get an extra year for Otis Reese. And it's a situation where the Ole Miss defensive backfield, like, is 6 out of 11 players, but that is probably going to be the strength of the team. And depending on how the linebacker and defensive line goes, I look for that defense to be pretty good. And Zach Evans, man, he just reminds me, I don't know how old you are, Chris, but he looks like Adrian Peterson running the football. Yeah. He doesn't get the carries and the workload that Adrian Peterson got at Oklahoma, but, man, this is a special dude. He's basically Jerry and Ely's speed and quickness and Snoop Connor's body.
Yeah, I know some people who covered him in high school in the Houston area and had a couple issues down the stretch that season in high school. I know Georgia, he was originally committed with them. LSU was sniffing around on him and ended up going to TCU and, you know, kind of got himself right there and did his thing. And so looking forward to seeing what he can do there at Ole Miss. When we talk about running the football at Ole Miss, you know, Snoop Connor, Jerry and Ely, you know, even Henry Parrish. Is it crazy to say, like, Ole Miss's offense, Matt Corral got all the attention and obviously whoever the quarterback is for Lane Kiffin, but, man, the offense is really predicated on that running back first, right?
Yeah, that's a Lane Kiffin thing. It's a major misconception that he's an air raid, throw the ball around the field guy. But even at Tennessee, Monterio Hardesty had like 1,700 yards in that season, and he goes out to USC. They always have a strong running game. So that's the foundation of his offense. And I think him taking that, because he's from the Norm Chow school at USC with those Pete Carroll teams back in the day. That's where he cut his teeth on offense. Now, he mixed that with the tempo and things that Baylor used to do to bring that along, and kind of the way they install their offense and the way they handle, like, technical things with who you hand the ball to and things like that. Mixing those two together has created this Lane Kiffin offense. Now, everybody gives Jeff Lebby credit for what's going on, and Jeff Lebby's great. I'm not saying he's not, but Lane Kiffin has run the same offense as the second period of a head coach with three different offensive coordinators. That's 5 years in a row. It's looked exactly the same. So this is Lane Kiffin's offense, and it's going to be predicated on the run. It's going to be 60-65% run, and then it's going to be deep shots, throwing the ball. It's going to be shot plays. And there's also going to be very professional level pass concepts in there. So it's a pretty interesting offense and a nice little meld from the Norm Chow times to now.
A couple other names that are coming in. We mentioned Zach Evans, Isheem Young. South Carolina offensive tackle Jordan Rhodes is coming in. Auburn safety Ladarius Tennyson. And then a big one, Louisville wide receiver Jordan Watkins. Any of those guys jump out that you think could be big-time contributors next year?
Tennyson is a very physical defensive back. That's the same thing you get. Isheem Young is the same way. They definitely have a type in the defensive backfield of those four safeties. And I think you're going to see the run defense specifically. They were already good in pass defense, but they are going to become much more physical in the run game. They just need to find a replacement for Chance Campbell. There's a rumor that somebody might come in down the track for that. And they need to improve on the defensive line with Sam Williams being gone, because Taiwan Malone, they just set him out and didn't overuse him this year because he was coming off an ACL. But I've heard him referred to many times as the dancing bear. And so instead of Sam Williams at 260 pounds, you could have Taiwan Malone at 315 on the defensive end side.
Well, somebody get Chance Campbell an NIL deal. Keep him in Oxford, because he was a beast coming over from Maryland for a defense that really needed somebody to shore up that linebacker spot. He was so good this year. As of this time, it's a rumor, but let me throw it out there. It's a rumor that USC four-star tight end Michael Trigg could be eyeing Ole Miss. I bring that up because 2 years ago, Kenny Yeboah had such a nice season at Ole Miss. I looked at the numbers this year. Ole Miss didn't really use the tight end much this year. What would a Michael Trigg, I mean, could you see that maybe making the offense even that much more better next year, utilizing that tight end spot again, which they didn't really do this year?
Yeah, I think I read, and I think it was reported on Three Sports at the Ole Miss Spirit, that it's getting to the point where it's expected that Michael Trigg is going to visit, I think, Thursday, and potentially him and Jackson Dart.
Wow. Wow.
And if Ole Miss lands them, all of a sudden this recruiting class is in the 7-8 range nationally with new players coming in. And all of a sudden you're not necessarily worried about the step back, because everybody's saying Ole Miss was great at 10-2 this year, but they're going to go 7-5 next year. Now, if that happens, 10-2 and the Sugar Bowl, there's a chance for a repeat there.
Yeah, and again, a lot has to do with, does LSU get better? Does Arkansas take another step forward? Alabama is always going to be the king. A&M, you know, bringing in the number one recruiting class. Yeah.
This division is a bear.
I've always said it. I mean, Mike Leach, I think, is a really good coach. But Mike Leach in the SEC, man, can he ever do better than 7-8 wins? It's just, it's so tough. Last thing for you, Steven, just thoughts on the coaching staff as a whole in Ole Miss, because they're seeing a lot of changes with Jeff Lebby gone, and you know, I just saw today he's bringing a staffer, Matt Holichak, with him. Kevin Smith, the running backs coach, is leaving. I mean, it feels like everybody not named Lane Kiffin is gone now. What do you think that effect that will have on this coaching staff next year with all the new faces?
I'll tell you what I told somebody else today, and that is I don't care if all 10 of them leave. Now, all 10 of them are not going to leave because Lane Kiffin has shown the ability to hire, and essentially this is his team. Now, other than Chris Partridge, who is a must because you can just see the pipeline of those Northeastern kids popping up on the defensive side of the ball that has been developed, and Randall Joyner, I would really be concerned if those two left because those are just top-shelf coaches. But on the offensive side of the ball, I have no doubts in his ability to replace any coach that leaves. It's his offense. It's not somebody else that's a lot of changeover that's going to happen. But I'm not overly concerned, but you are absolutely right. I think six are gone at this point. But, you know, you still have John David Baker. They're going to name Charlie Weiss Jr. They haven't named him yet. He's going to be the offensive coordinator. There's going to be some move, like maybe are they going to move Derek Nix from wide receivers coach to running backs coach because he has history doing that. So it'll be interesting what comes about everything. But it's a staff that I'm not overly concerned with because, honest, this is Lane's program. It's going to do exactly what he wants to do. And this is his Saban influence. 95% of what he does is based off of his time with Pete Carroll. I honestly think he's a Pete Carroll guy more than a Nick Saban guy. But the thing he does with Nick Saban is this is his. It doesn't matter. You might have ideas, but it needs to be your ideas on what I want to do. And that's what he goes about coaching. And that's going to rub coaches the wrong way that have ideas of different things that they want to do. And I get that. And Jeff Lebby needed to go to Oklahoma because he needed to have Jeff Lebby's offense instead of Lane's offense.
Right.
DJ Durkin needed to go to Texas A&M. Because he needed a couple of stops after what happened in Maryland just to get a little bit of time. That's all career development stuff. Now, so I'm not overly worried about what's going on. Any assistant coach, they all come and they all go.
Yeah, Lane following in the footsteps of Saban. Saban has shown time and time again he can replace assistants, and it doesn't matter. They will be good. See if the same happens with Lane. He is Steven Willis. You can follow him on Twitter, at TheStevenWillis. That's Steven with a V. Steven, remind our listeners, let them know what they are getting on Locked On Ole Miss.
Yeah, we are a podcast that deals with commentary and perspectives mainly. We're not really in the news-breaking game. So if you're looking for a fun way to follow Ole Miss sports that's not going to overly hit you with all the things that are happening negatively that with the sport, give us a listen. We like to have fun. We talk about the transfer portal quite a bit. I worked in those offices for 3 years. I know what's going on at the coaching staff, and I worked at Rivals for 10. So I've got the media side of the arm that can give you the perspective as well. So give us a listen. Locked On Ole Miss, YouTube. We're available anywhere you can let your podcasts are, and man, come over and have some fun.
Love it. Steven, thanks so much for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Chris.
All right, that's Steven Willis there of Locked On Ole Miss. Definitely give him a listen. We appreciate him taking some time out to join us. That is going to do it for this edition of Locked On SEC. We'll be back tomorrow as we get ready. We're going to catch up with some current players in the SEC over the next couple of weeks, so you definitely want to stay tuned to that. If you missed any of our interviews, Valus Jones from Tennessee, we had him on a couple weeks ago talking about preparing for the draft, going to the Senior Bowl, of course, leaving Tennessee, finishing off his career. We talked with Miles Brennan, LSU quarterback, on his decision to come back to LSU. We also talked with Ken Seals, Vanderbilt quarterback, about how difficult it's been his first 2 years at Vanderbilt and how they're hoping for brighter days ahead. So three great interviews. If you missed any of those, you can catch them on the podcast or find them on YouTube or just search Locked On SEC. You'll be able to find them there. Thank you guys so much for making Locked On SEC your first listen every day. Now go make your second listen. Check out the Locked On Bets podcast with your boy Q and Lee Sterling giving you all the picks you need. I'm Chris Gordy. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow right here on Locked On SEC.
Hit him hard.